So I'm watching TV a couple of days ago, and I see a commercial for this this drug, this pill that you can get at CVS or something, and it improves your short-term memory. And I don't think I have a problem with short-term memory. I just would like to maintain what I have left of it. So I go to the store, and I get this thing, and I get the bottle of pills, and it improves short-term memory. And I get home, and I'm excited about it. The problem is, I keep forgetting to take the pills.
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
I keep forgetting to take the pills.
Whatever.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good afternoon. Good evening. Good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
That's true.
Back, relax, grab a cup of coffee, a cup of tea, whatever your liquid libation may be in the morning, and join us as we take a look at the world around us. As much as it's a pleasure to be with you, the pleasure is actually all yours. And now, here's your host, Ron Van Dam.
Thank you, Huli. Welcome to the program. Relax, just sit back. I will take it from here. You don't have to do anything but just sit down and shut up. It's perfect. It's a relationship that I would love to have with everybody. I talk, and you shut up. I mean, how can you not like that? I do spend a lot of time walking the aisles. I sound like a hooker. I do spend a lot of time walking the aisles of the Pharmacia, formerly known as a drugstore. You can't call them drugstores anymore. They're pharmacias. And I'm perplexed by the vitamin section. I find vitamins to be an incredibly amazing aisle. First of all, as soon as you get used to where the vitamins are in your pharmacia, they change them. I don't know why. They always have to look for them somewhere. Where'd you move your vitamins to this week? Oh, okay, over there. Okay, fine. I don't understand vitamins. I don't know why they're numerically not displayed. But they're alphabetically displayed. There's vitamin B, vitamin C, vitamin D. I think there's a vitamin A. I really don't know. I don't know how high up they go in the alphabet. I don't think there's any vitamin V. I don't know. I haven't gotten to that part yet. I think when you're younger, you start with vitamin B and vitamin C and vitamin D, and you work your way up to vitamin W later on in life. I don't even know what it is. And then they have these herbal things where the H is silent, and they're berries that I've never heard of, like the elkaberry and the flunaberry, and I don't even know what they do. It doesn't really matter, does it? Because they're just so stupid. Saw palmetto. What the fuck is that? What's saw palmetto? Is that like a palmetto bug and you saw it in half and you take the shavings and you... I don't know what a saw palmetto is. I don't understand these herbs. But apparently they do different things. I don't get it. There's like a finkelberry or something, which apparently makes your knuckles strong. I don't know why. I used to take a multivitamin because I figured I don't have to figure out what's in it. I'm just assuming that you've put all the crap in this vitamin that I need. I don't know what vitamin K is. I don't even know if the K is silent in that vitamin. I don't know. I don't know what it is or what it does, but I assume because you've got it in the multivitamin, it must be doing something for me. Maybe I don't need K. Maybe I've got plenty of K in my body already. Maybe it's L that I really need. I have no idea what this stuff is. I took multivitamins for years. My parents shoved vitamins down my throat continually with these little multivitamin things, the Flintstone vitamins, which I don't, that's a marketing thing. I don't think the Flintstone vitamins make you like a Flintstone. I don't know what they are. And then we got into the chewable vitamins for us pussies who don't like to swallow pills. Now everything's chewable. Have you noticed? Everything's chewable. Chewable aspirin, chewable methadone, I guess. I don't even know. I've never taken it. I assume it comes in a chewable form. Everything's chewable. Chewing gum wasn't chewable originally. In order to get the gum, it was in a pill form, and you had to take it with water. You didn't chew it. Now it's chewable, of course. I said chewable, not jewable. Stop it. Stop it. I have a great time at the pharmacy. I just walk down the aisles. Sometimes I'll wander into the area where they have the old people stuff. It scares me. It's a scary aisle. It's like Halloween to me. It's got the walkers. It's got the little raised toilet seats with the little plastic bowls right under the lid. You know what I mean? For when you have trouble going to the bathroom or something, or the seat's too low and you can't get up anymore. Oh my God. They make that stuff. They have canes when you're not able to support yourself that well anymore. I think that's over the age of 30. I'm not sure. I think 30 is where you start to not support yourself too well. Some scary, scary stuff for incontinence and adult diapers. It's a horrible section of the store. It's scary. You just realize to yourself, someday I'm going to need to walk down this aisle and buy this stuff. It scares me. Then if you look high enough on some of these shelves, you'll find the novelty items that people actually buy. They look tempting, but when you think about it, not all that interesting. That's where you find all the vibrating stuff. Not vibrators themselves. That's in a different section. Usually not found in a pharmacy. Now I'm talking about the vibrating neck things. You know, they're like neck pillows, and you plug them in and they vibrate and it massages your neck. Sounds good upon first glance. Then they have these seat cushions that go up your back, and you plug those in and you sit in a chair with this pad under you, and you can get all kinds of, it's like a shiatsu massage. These little rotating balls in the mat, they massage your back and your lower back, and you think, oh my God, that's got to be awesome. They have all different kinds. They have foot baths and things like, oh, my feet haven't taken a bath in a long time. Sure, I shower and I clean my feet, and I do take little baths in my house now and then, maybe 3 times a year. I mean, who likes to lie in their own filth? I mean, what's the point of taking a bath seriously? Unless you're like trying to mimic some type of a sex scene in a movie where you got bubbles riding up your butt there. You know, you're lying in a bathtub and you got the candles going and a glass of wine. Unless you're doing that, you're just lying in your own filth, and it's kind of disgusting. But they make a foot bath. They really do. You pour water, a little warm water in there, and some Epsom salts, I think it's called, and you just stick your feet in it, and there's a little vibrating motion in there, and you get a little foot massage. They have these wonderful things at the pharmacy, but then you look at the prices, and you're like, oh, $150? What the hell? What the $150? No, my feet don't need the massage. And if I want my neck massaged, I'll find some poor sap who'll do it for $20. Pharmacy's an amazing place. I just wander up and down the aisles aimlessly, like I'm a lost kid looking for my parents. Then there's a section in every pharmacy. It's the As Seen on TV section. It's all the crap they sell on television that they swear on television they'll never be sold in stores. They're sold in stores. And you can find them in your local drugstore. I'm sorry, Pharmacia. And for some reason, all the stuff has in the corner As Seen on TV, like nothing else is ever advertised on television but this stuff. But it's the craziest thing. All these things, for the most part, don't work. It's not that you picked up one from the store and that particular package was defective. The whole product doesn't work, ever. I wouldn't call them scams, but they're pretty close to that. There was a commercial for this one product. It's a television antenna. And in the commercial, they say that you can be out on a boat on the intercoastal waterway, maybe out in the ocean, and you can still get TV reception. Why pay for cable anymore? Because the television industry, the FCC, says you can get free TV. Everybody can get it. All you need is this little device. It's an antenna, and you can pick up stations anywhere. Well, I bought that antenna for $39, and I attached it to my TV, and I plugged it into my TV, and I only got two stations, and none of them came in very well. And I live right near a city. Who can't tell me if I'm out on a boat that I'm going to get great television reception? I won't even be able to pick up a fish. That didn't work, and I returned it to the store. And the clerk said, "Is there anything wrong with it?" And I said, "Yeah, it doesn't work, ever." There was a product, I don't recall the name of it, you probably know it, it's a television commercial, it's a flex tape, I think it's called. Yeah, that's what it is. Comes in a spray, comes in a tape, it stops leaks. And in the television commercial, this guy saws a rowboat. It was a big difference between a robot and a rowboat. Saws a rowboat in half lengthwise, and then takes this flex tape and tapes the boat back together again down the middle seam. Then gets in the boat and goes out on the water, and my God, the boat is floating. It's a miracle. This tape is so waterproof, it can hold a boat together that's been sawed in half. Or a rowboat, or a robot. So I thought, oh my God. So I find that there's this little pinhole in one of my outdoor pipes, water things, you know, faucets. And I figure, well, rather than call the plumber for $300-$400, I'll buy this flex tape and I'll wrap it around the pipe. And according to the commercial, this is even good on a rowboat, much less a little pinhole on my faucet. So I buy the flex tape for $29.99, not $30, $29.99. And I say, oh, okay. So I bring the thing home and I wrap the flex tape around the pipe. And I turn on the water, and that water just goes shooting everywhere. That flex tape could not even stop a little pinhole in a pipe. I said, oh, my, yeah, and a rowboat floats when it's, come on. I returned the tape to the store. The clerk said, is there anything wrong with it? And I said, I think there's something wrong with you. I don't think this store should be selling this crap. Is what the problem is. If you need to know exactly what the problem is, you shouldn't be selling this crap. True. Give it a shot. I don't know. So I find pharmacies quite engaging in a sense. Pick up some flex tape and some vitamin K and you're all set to go.
This is your source for all the news that matters. Hard-hitting, unbiased, investigative journalism, ready to break...
Sorry, John, that's the wrong copy.
Sorry, what?
Yeah, no, it's not right. Is it under the under the... Oh, yeah,
it's this other sheet. That makes so much more sense. Okay.
Okay, let's go again.
You're listening to a podcast that has Ron Van Dam on it. It's the Ron Van Dam Podcast on New England Broadcasting.
Oh, that's embarrassing. Anyway, if one more person shows me a picture of their baby, or their young puppy dog, or their adorable young kitten, I may throw up. But I'm sure they sell something at the pharmacy to help me through that. I don't know what to do when someone shows me a picture of something that they consider to be adorable. It's a very confining, prison-like problem. I must, by law, respond like this.
Aww.
You can't not do that. If you're honest about your response, you will lose every friend you never had. Seriously. When someone shows me a picture of their beautiful young puppy dog, the puppy dog is cute, but I'm not going to fawn over it like you want me to. My response should be, so what? What do you want me? Yes, that's a cute little puppy dog. Do I need now to lose all of my senses over it? Must I drop every emotion I've ever had in order to completely fondle the idea of you having an adorable little pet? Not really my true response. And when you show me a picture of your little baby infant, to you, your baby is adorable. To me, you've wasted my time for at least 30 seconds here. What am I supposed to say? Oh, that's your baby? Can you shove it back in? It's not that pretty. You can't say that. You can't say that. You can't. They'll deport you. You've got to fawn over it. And everybody knows you're lying. And if they don't know you're lying, then they're lying. Yeah, some babies are really cute. So what? This isn't the only baby I've ever seen. You're not the only person in the world ever to have a baby. And your baby isn't as cute as you think your baby is. Now, sure, I get it. When it's your baby, nothing is more adorable or cuter. But keep it in context. That's your baby. Somebody else who has no connection to your baby is not going to find that your baby is adorable as you think it is. So this response...
Aww.
Is only placating you. Okay, good. Now that we got that straight, I get that straight now. Remember Barbie? Do you remember her? She's actually celebrating an anniversary. I'm a little confused about the Barbie thing, because I think Barbie used to be the pinup girl for the way people should look, but nobody really does. And now, for some reason, we're actually embracing the Barbie look, but the Barbie look is actually changing and has become actually an icon for fashion. I'm serious. I know. Who would think? So let's celebrate the whole Barbie idea. We're actually going to do that. We're actually going to celebrate the Barbie thing. Here we go. Katie Etcheverry joins us now. She's CEO, founder of Unique Vintage, and we're talking about something that I don't talk about very frequently, and that's Barbie. And Barbie is, how old is the Barbie phenomenon?
Barbie is turning 60 next year.
Oh my God, she looks good. Exciting. She looks very good for her age.
She does.
Yeah.
And so what Unique Vintage is doing, I started this company 18 years ago as a hobby. Mm-hmm. Never in a million years did I think that I'd be working with a big company like Mattel.
Uh-huh.
And they have allowed me to recreate vintage Barbie fashion.
Wow.
So that's what we're doing. And this fall is our second collection with them. And we're super excited about it.
Wow. How has Barbie changed since you've become involved?
Well, I know that Barbie is definitely looking at more career-oriented Barbies. Mm-hmm. Like, there's astronaut Barbie, and there's, you know, Dr. Barbie, and all those good things.
Yep.
But for us, it was pretty easy because we just got to choose our favorite iconic looks from the 50s and 60s and recreate them in wearable fashion.
Wow.
So that's what we did.
And, that's... It's interesting because Barbie has always been like a fashion plate for some reason, which is larger than life. And now has Barbie actually influenced what people are wearing?
Absolutely. I mean, if you think about modern fashion, it's definitely inspired always by, you know, vintage decades.
Mm-hmm.
So the items that we picked are very much wearable today. One of them is it's called Black Magic.
Uh-huh.
It was from 1964, and it's just a fitted black dress with a nice little cape that goes over it. So it's really wearable for any girl. We make them from extra small to 5X. So, it's very size inclusive.
Wow.
And yeah, it's really exciting.
See, that's been one of the stigmas as far as I know about it, is that Barbie has always been portrayed as a very skinny model like, entity. And for some people, it kept them in that one mode. But now, not now. It's like for everybody. I understand.
That's right, and that's why I think they were, you know, excited to partner with us because we're all about inclusivity as a company.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look at their more recent Barbie collections, it's definitely not what it used to be.
Huh. How did you get into this business, by the way?
You know, it's a random story. I was actually a pharmaceutical rep, so go figure that I ended up in fashion.
That makes sense.
And I just like to go to estate sales and garage sales with my sister, and I guess I was just an entrepreneur at heart, so I started buying and selling vintage clothing online. My friend made me the Unique Vintage website for free 18 years ago, and it just evolved from there. I changed from vintage to vintage-inspired clothing, so new clothing that, you know, looks old, I guess.
Mm.
And here I am, you know, with 60 employees and multi-million-dollar business. I don't even know how this happened to me sometimes.
I love it when things happen and you don't know how these things happen.
So, it's true. I do sometimes pinch myself, like, right. Well, how did I get here?
It's funny. It's funny because some people plan all their lives, these specific steps to success, and other people, it's just, well, here I am. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I mean,
I always just kind of went with it, so I guess it worked out.
Well, you must do well at what you do. There's no question about that. As a matter of fact, I understand that you go beyond the Barbie entity into others that we're familiar with.
Right. So once we reached out to Barbie and we had such success with them, we thought, who else, what other nostalgic brands would women love to wear? Not in like kids' clothes or, you know, teenager clothes, but like modern women's clothing. And so we reached out to Care Bears, Coca-Cola, and Pantone. And so we're doing collaborations with them next year, as well as celebrating the 60th birthday of Barbie in the spring of next year.
Very
so
cool.
We have a lot of things lined up for us.
Very cool. Is this new line available to everybody now?
It is. You can go to uniquevintage.com. And I know that you probably won't be buying anything for yourself, but maybe you have a spouse or a sister or something, but you can shop too.
Yeah, it's been a while since I've looked good in a tiny black dress, but who knows? Who knows?
You never know.
You never know. Thank you so much. all right, so it's uniquevintage.com, did you say?
That's right, uniquevintage.com.
Okay.
And I want to mention that we also sell wholesale, so... Oh. If you have a boutique and you want to carry Unique Vintage in your store, you can reach out to us as well.
That's a very cool marketing idea, to be honest with you. That's very cool. You could walk into a store and see the Barbie doll and the Barbie fashions that you can actually... That's wow. That's smart. See, that's how you...
Actually, on our website, we have a picture of the original Barbie doll next to the recreated fashion.
Katie, that's how you got to where you are. You see, you come up with these smart ideas like that. Okay.
Thank you so much.
Right. Hey, great speaking to you and continued success. And thanks for telling us all about this just in time for the holiday shopping, by the way. So that's cool.
Yep.
Very
Thank
good.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Katie. Bye-bye.
Alex
Martin is a singer and songwriter, and he's appearing in the Boston area today, and let's talk to him.
She knows that I need her. 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 I know, I know, I know. You and me can take it slow. Oh, we can put on a show. You wish I'll make it true. You ask and I will do anything you want.
Alex Martin joins us now. He's a performer and he's a singer-songwriter, one of the founding members of the 718 Entertainment Group. And apparently you're going to be in the Boston area soon.
Yeah, it'll be my first time. I'm going to be up there this Friday performing and getting interviewed at Boston University.
Cool. Very cool. Now, and that is that open to the public?
Yeah, it is. I know that they could tune into the radio, but the performance is going to be in studio. I'll be recording a little set.
Great, great. Now, let's talk about you. How did you get involved and in, so deeply involved in music?
So, yeah, music, I started out at very young, 4 years old. I used to play on Venice Beach in California. Are you familiar?
Yes, very much.
Yeah, yeah. So there's a lot of performers out there, and that's my hometown. So I started out playing with Beatles songs with my my family, and it never really stopped. It grew from there.
Mm-hmm.
So growing up, I would just pick up new instruments, saxophone, guitar, bass, piano, and it kind of just grew from there.
Perfect. Now, I understand that your home life was a little awkward, so to speak. Did this drive you into expressing yourself through music?
At first, it really did feel like a burden. It was something I didn't want to do. It was alien to me. It was more used as like a means to an end to get money.
Mm-hmm.
I actually was trying to put it down at 15 years old, but you know, things happened in life where it just always popped right back up, or someone gave me a guitar.
Mm-hmm.
At first, it was a curse, and now it's been a blessing. And now I'm starting to see, like, you know. If I don't take that negative, it's just going to stay a negative. So I'm trying to flip it into a positive.
Okay. You spent some time in upstate New York, I understand.
Yeah, yeah. I went to school up there, 4 years up in the Adirondacks. Got like a full scholarship.
Mm-hmm.
Very lucky. I studied music and biology at a really top school. And then from there, I grew and worked at the Harlem Children's Zone in New York City, teaching music for a year to at-risk youth.
Wow.
And then I went on to work at like a global investment firm in Manhattan, and then left that job when the music started to really blow up.
Interesting. Yeah, yeah. I lived in Rochester, New York for quite a period of time, which is not too far from where you were, actually. What a beautiful part of the country, and very inspiring, too. Actually, the most inspiring places on the globe, as far as I'm concerned, are upstate New York and New York City. I mean, those two just like flood with ideas and creativity.
Oh my goodness. Perfect segue, man. Like I was listening, like I said, I was listening to your show yesterday, and you were talking about this country being different, so many different climates, so many different people, so many different cultures. And I really feel like my music embodies that because I moved around so much, and I kind of drew off of that. And then you saying this right now with New York, upstate New York being so different, the mountains. I know Rochester gets a ton of snow, and then New York City is just like the metropolis of the world. So
it is. You know, a lot of songwriters and performers say that their songs come from the heart, but I mean, in your situation, it seems to really be the meat of it.
Most definitely. When I write songs, I have a different way of writing.
Mm-hmm.
But my most popular method is me picking up my guitar, putting down my phone, playing chords, and then singing. And then those songs come out right then and there, like a freestyle. So, like, there's a track called Miles that's going to be out on my next project. That's how that one came about. What I speak about is my story, is my truth. I'm not sitting there, you know, trying to pretend to be something I'm not.
A lot of artists have a preference between live performance and studio. Mm-hmm. Where do you sit on that?
I love live performance. That's what I live for. That's what I build everything around. That's what I even build my productions around. So they're not too complicated. So they could, you know, the expectation isn't too high. So when you go live, you don't have to bring 20 synths on and an 808, you know. I definitely love live performance, but what I like, but I do like what I can achieve in the studio experimentally, which really increases the sound palette.
Yeah, that's for sure. So what do you have in mind from here? I mean, you're making public appearances. What's the path for you?
Growth. I have some opportunities in China that I'm going to be in November. Like, I'm going to be flown out there for a meeting to talk about some performances, organize some other performances as well. I'm going to be on more television appearances. I have a couple of new big New York City opportunities working like Dr. Oz and the morning show at Fox. So there's a lot going on. And then I have my music being released this November, November 10th. And you can find me out on like Apple and Spotify, all those major outlets. So it's really just continuing the growth, continuing the networking, the people, creating my music, sharing my music, you know, even myself, just chiseling away at what being more succinct, being more cohesive, being more, you know, concise about what I want to do with my art, my mission. But at the same time, you know, I believe that sometimes you got to jump off the cliff and make the airplane on the way down. And that's kind of what I'm figuring out right now.
Yeah. But, you know, what I find most impressive is the connections that you make. And that's so important. As you know, I talk about people being divided in this country. But music and a good artist and a good performer has the ability to take music and their craft and actually bring people together where it doesn't matter who the person standing next to you is. All of a sudden, you're all enjoying the same thing. And to me, that's a real example of where people should be at.
Absolutely. And music's powerful, man. I mean, you remember the ABC, because ABCDEFG, first thing is because it's musical, it's mnemonic. You know, something they use that as a way to deliver a message. And I think a lot of the music today isn't promoting the most positive message, to be honest, but I don't shun it. Yeah. I just want something that's popular and positive contributing as well. Not saying that that isn't happening either. It's just a matter of, you know, really exposing people to more than just an 808 and, you know, some lyrics about something that I've heard about a million times.
Yeah. I mean, if you can share your music with the world, I mean, that's probably the best thing that anybody can possibly endeavor to do.
Yeah. And then nowadays with the internet, it's even easier.
You can do it. Yeah. And then they want to see you live, so you have to travel a little bit.
Whatever.
How do we get to hear your music if we can't make a live tour performance? How do we do this? I guess online we can find you.
Yeah, you can follow me on Instagram at @IM_AlexMartin. I'm always posting stories and posts about what I'm doing in the studio, where I'm traveling to. So you'll probably hear stuff that isn't going to be out for a while. And then you can actually hear what's already out my EP, New California, on like Spotify, Apple Music, iTunes, Tidal, Google Play, all the major music streaming services.
Perfect.
And all you have to look for is my name, Alex Martin, and then the EP, New California.
Sounds easy. And I think everybody will start looking you up there, my friend. And thanks so much for your time today. You are appearing in Boston on Friday, I believe it is.
Yes. Yep. I'll be playing in Boston. Any tips about where I should eat?
Any tips about food? Food is a good start. Seafood. I mean, it's fresh here. It's basically you reach out your window and you got seafood. So lobster is big here. Any kind of seafood if you're into that. And the chowder, the New England clam chowder, is supposed to be better here, although I've had it in other parts of the country. It's just as good, but I don't want to say that.
They make home mad.
Yeah. I think the people that are hosting you would probably be the best bet for what's the best in that particular area of Boston. But yeah, it's a good time. I hope you have time to walk around. Yeah.
What's up? Well, thanks for having me as well, Ron. I appreciate it.
Pleasure. Alex Martin, you take care.
You have a great one.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, there you have it. I hope that this show has been somewhat educational for you, even though I realize it probably hasn't been. But that's my hope and my dream. It's been dashed. But nonetheless, hey, have yourselves a wonderful day. Really, make it the best day it can be. I think that would be really good for you. And I'll be back again the next weekday that rolls around. And until then, I wish you peace. By the way, today's program is free to you. Your credit card will not be charged.